Chapter 3. Fact, Faith, Feeling. Chapter Overview. Chapter 3 marks the first major theological discussion in the story. While Peter and Thomas continue preparing a heavenly perspective for launch, their attention turns to a statement made by Pastor Theodore that Peter cannot stop thinking about. Faith is not something we do, it is something we possess. Peter strongly disagrees with that idea. Drawing from a familiar train illustration he learned at youth camp, he explains what many Christians have been taught. The engine represents the facts of God's word. The next car represents faith, which Peter understands as choosing to believe and obey those facts. The caboose represents feelings, which are expected to eventually follow behind. According to Peter, the Christian life is about choosing to trust and obey regardless of how we feel. Thomas is not trying to argue, but he keeps asking questions that expose tension within Peter's explanation. If faith is primarily a choice, why is it sometimes so difficult to obey what we already know is true? Why does gratitude often feel impossible when life hurts? Why does rejoicing sometimes feel forced? And if God already knows what we truly feel, does he simply want outward compliance when the heart remains unconvinced? The discussion becomes even more pointed when Thomas uses the illustration of a rotten fish. Peter insists that believers should give thanks regardless of how they feel. Thomas responds by offering Peter a decaying fish and asking where his gratitude is. The illustration is humorous, but it exposes a serious question. Can genuine gratitude be produced through willpower alone, or does gratitude flow naturally from what a person actually believes about a situation? Beneath the conversation lies a deeper issue that reaches far beyond faith and feelings. The chapter begins exploring the relationship between belief, obedience, and transformation. Many people know what the Bible says. Many sincerely want to obey it. Yet there are times when knowing the truth and experiencing the truth seem very different. The chapter does not provide answers yet. Instead, it invites us to wrestle with questions that many believers have quietly carried for years. As you consider this chapter, keep one question in mind. If what we believe shapes the way we perceive and interpret the world around us, what role does belief play in the choices we make? If a person truly believes something in his heart, should living according to that belief feel unnatural, forced, or disconnected from what he actually experiences? Or should genuine belief naturally influence the way he thinks, feels, and behaves? Perhaps a more direct way to ask the question is this: why does it often seem so easy to fall into behaviors we know are wrong, while doing what we claim is right can sometimes feel like such a struggle? Could it be that our actions reveal what we genuinely believe at a deeper level, even when those beliefs differ from what we say we believe? As the story unfolds, pay attention to the relationship between belief, perception, and behavior. The answer to that question lies at the heart of the journey ahead. Initial discussion questions. What part of Peter and Thomas's conversation stood out to you the most? Which illustration did you find most memorable, the train, the cargo ship, or the rotten fish? Did you find yourself agreeing more with Peter or Thomas as the discussion unfolded? What question raised in this chapter caught your attention the most? Was there a moment in the conversation that made you stop and think? If so, what was it? Principle-focused discussion questions. Why do you think Peter was so troubled by Pastor Theodore's statement that faith is something we possess rather than something we do? Did Pastor Theodore's understanding of faith cause you any difficulty? If so, explain why. What assumptions about faith and the Christian life are built into Peter's fact-faith-feeling train illustration? Why does Thomas struggle with the idea that a person can simply choose to rejoice, trust, or be grateful regardless of what he feels? Have you ever wondered about his? What is the difference between knowing something is true and being genuinely persuaded that it is true? What does the rotten fish illustration contribute to the discussion? Why do you think some acts of obedience feel natural and joyful, while others feel forced and difficult? What important questions does this chapter raise that have not yet been answered? Digging deeper. Have you ever tried to make yourself believe something that did not seem true in your heart? What was that experience like? Have there been times when you outwardly did the right thing while inwardly struggling to agree with it? Why is this struggle even present? If we believe something, shouldn't living it out be natural and effortless? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Why do you think Scripture places such importance on the heart rather than merely outward behavior? Are there beliefs you hold today simply because you have always heard them taught, even though you have never carefully examined them for yourself? Looking ahead. As you read the next chapter, watch for moments when the discussion begins shifting from what people do to why they do it. Pay attention to any examples that connect beliefs, emotions, and behavior together. Take note of statements that challenge commonly accepted assumptions about faith, obedience, or spiritual growth. Key principle. People do not live according to what they merely know. They live according to what they have become persuaded is true. When belief and behavior seem disconnected, the deeper issue may not be a lack of effort, but a question of what the heart actually believes.